And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a jam-packed show for you here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Predators head coach John Hines will join us at 7:30. Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated drops by at 8 o'clock, and we're going to do something cool in the 8 o'clock hour, kind of revisiting this day a year ago when sports and really the world as we knew it shut down for the foreseeable future. So we'll do that with Pat starting at 8 o'clock. Tom Hart from the SEC Network at 9 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the SEC tournament, really getting ramped up today, and see where the Tennessee Volunteers fall into the mix as well. And then Hal Gill at 9:30 to look ahead to the Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes again tonight. So lots still to come here today on the show. And as always, we'll take your thoughts and your reaction at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? You look dashing today.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, I'm in a collared shirt, tucked in, and Porth has no hat on. So
I
we're
know,
fancy.
It's kind of throwing me off, and I look like I'm about to go to the gym.
I guess this was the fancy day. You didn't get the memo, huh?
I didn't.
Yeah. No, it was good. Got some hoops last night at Bridgestone. A little bit different than your normal NCAA SEC tournament situation up in the hockey press box. But, hey, it was live hoops. There were some people in the building, and Vanderbilt played well. Vanderbilt moves on.
Vanderbilt did play well. 79-68 win against Texas A&M. They'll take on Florida later today in the SEC tournament. Was it weird to be back in that building covering a live sporting event? It's been a while since you've been in there.
Yeah, it's true. It has been. Yeah, a little bit. And obviously you think about the, you know, like last year, it was the same thing. Vanderbilt was playing that first night. There were two games. But it was sort of like, I think it was halftime. I mean, we'll talk about it later in the show. But I think halftime of the second game they announced, like, no more fans.
Yeah.
And it was like boos, you know, and then everybody left. But I still thought even at that point, okay, well, they'll still play with no fans. And then so the next day is when you're in there with Tennessee warming up on the floor when all of a sudden it all came to a screeching halt. But, yeah, you definitely thought about that last night for sure. Really, how much better things look now.
You know? Yeah.
Like, things are going in the right direction now, and we had no idea where they were going back then.
Scottie Pippen Jr. last night, 22 points, 3 of 17 from the field, though. So
yeah,
not a great shooting night from Scottie Pippen Jr. Vanderbilt's able to overcome that anyway and come out of there with a win. What did you think of their team game overall, and what sort of a chance would you give them today against Florida?
Yeah, it's a total blowout if he shoots well. He got some real good looks, and he just didn't hit them. He still controlled the game. You know, again, 15 for 15. Some of that was late, but most of it was just his ability to – just get in the lane on people or on multiple people at times. You know, Trey Thomas, the freshman, hit huge shots when Texas A&M came back in the second half. Miles Studi, I mean, DJ Harvey had 17. They shot the heck out of the ball. I mean, they were better than 50% outside of him. They made 12 threes. Hey, if they do that and then Pippen hits shots today, they definitely have a chance. You know, they've lost to Florida twice. One was pretty competitive, and I assume Florida's going to have everybody. I have not heard that definitively. Of course, they were missing Trey Mann when they lost to Tennessee on Sunday. But
right.
This is the, you know, the team coming in cold versus the team that just won a game the day before, and Tennessee's going to be dealing with this tomorrow, whichever one of these, because the winner of this game gets Tennessee. There is something to that. So, got to have a good start, and I think there's a chance. Of course, it starts today, Mississippi State, Kentucky. So it's going to be gonna take this nice collared shirt right over to Bridgestone right after the show. So pretty exciting, man. Love this week. This week is underrated. We talk about the NCAA tournament, the brackets, and those, and that's great. But I love this week too, and teams fighting for a bid and all that stuff.
And Joe Rexroad, very excited about the SEC tournament. We'll have plenty of talk about the SEC tournament coming up as well in the show. As I said, Tom Hart from the SEC Network joins us at 9 o'clock, and we'll get into that more in that hour as well. Joe, another move made yesterday by the Tennessee Titans, and another move that is completely unsurprising, and that is Kenny Vaccaro moving on, the Titans releasing him officially yesterday. We saw this coming. Kenny Vaccaro has been a guy we've talked about for a few weeks here on the show, where you're just looking around at some cap money they're going to have to try to move around and save, and you look at safety, and with, you know, Kevin Byard being there and Amani Hooker being there and Dane Cruikshank maybe coming back and being there this year, they've just got too many options there right now for Kenny Vaccaro to stick around. And it's not anything against Kenny Vaccaro, the player, but the Titans make that move official yesterday. I'm not sure there were very many people that were surprised by that.
No. You think about that secondary, which to me, 2 years ago, was absolutely the tone setter for the entire team. When you think about Vaccaro, Butler, Logan Ryan, Byard.
Yeah.
Okay? You're talking about four of the most important voices in the locker room in the secondary. And Byard remains, as I think, you know, one of the team's leaders. But that is a ton of intangibles that you're losing. And intangibles are not as important as tangibles in the NFL, okay? But that's also, I mean, I still think a good player. Went back and forth on Twitter with our guy Kenston yesterday because, you know, I know Vaccaro, everybody's talking about this play where he picked up the fumble and he was like limping down the field or whatever against Cleveland. He looked like he maybe lost a step or he was banged up last year. I think there was also a lot of football last year where he still looked like a pretty good football player. So it's not surprising, but then you think about it collectively, all that they lost, man, they are really changing things over, and not for the better, at least not for the better in terms of leadership and all that stuff, and that stuff does matter. So it's a tough week, not terribly surprising. Butler's more surprising or was less of a sure thing. You take those two things together, and it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, and I think you and I both at times last year were impressed with Amani Hooker and what he was doing out there, but there's a difference between, you know, coming in and filling in and now being the starting safety. I'm very fascinated to see how Amani Hooker handles this. I mean, I would assume that that's the route they're going to go, and he's going to be the starter. I mean, I guess you could find a veteran free agent safety for cheap on at free agency, but with all the different needs that they have, I doubt very seriously they look at safety.
Nah, yeah, he'll be the starter. And I think Cruikshank, that's, you know, if Cruikshank can be healthy and can be reliable on defense, he's been a very good special teams player, then you're in pretty good shape. You're about as well prepared for a move like this at that spot as you are at any position on the team. And I think Amani Hooker will be fine. I don't know, like, will Amani Hooker be what Vaccaro was his first 2 years? I mean, that's the standard. That was very good.
Yeah.
We'll see, but I think he's a starting safety in this league, and he's ready for it. So from that perspective, that's part of why this was the least surprising move.
Ryan Porth, we've seen this coming for a couple of weeks now. We've talked about it with either Butler or Jackson, and certainly I think everybody agreed that Kenny Vaccaro wouldn't be here. Now that it's happened and Butler is gone, Vaccaro is gone, as you look at this defense, as you look at this secondary, how concerned are you as a Titans fan moving forward here?
Well, I'm not any more concerned today than I was yesterday because, again, the Vaccaro news was expected. I mean, I put Vaccaro almost in the same category as Adam Humphries, as those two were almost locks to get cut. But, yeah, I mean, it's a concern. I mean, you're relying on Adoree Jackson to revert back to 2019 form. You're relying on a second-round pick and Christian Fulton to take a next step, and who knows if that's going to happen. You're relying on Kevin Byard to go back to his all-pro form. There's a lot of ifs there, and who knows what they might be able to do in free agency or the draft at corner to be able to add to Adoree and Christian Fulton, but that's a pretty big concern. But the thing that will help the secondary is if you get a stinking pass rush. I think that complicated matters with the secondary last year, where you could not breathe on a quarterback. And we all know if quarterbacks have 5-6 seconds of time in the pocket, they're going to pick defenses apart.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Joseph could have been an all-pro, man.
Could have.
Absolutely.
Pass rush just, you know,
certainly Breon Borders.
Chris Jackson could have been the defensive rookie of the year.
I thought Chris Jackson had a nice year as a rookie, as a seventh-round pick, right?
It could have been even better.
He just wasn't the rookie of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, he was, yeah.
Maybe he was for the Titans. I don't know.
Gosh, was he?
I think he might have been.
The defensive rookie of the year for the Titans?
I mean, or Laurel Murchison, maybe?
Maybe Laurel Murchison,
one of those two.
One
of
those
two. Your fifth or your seventh, yeah.
That's more a process of elimination than anything.
It's not what you're looking for.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget Desmond King. I mean, it's still out there that Desmond King could be part of the solution in John Robinson's mind is, okay, got to let one of the outside guys go, but really like Desmond King, try to sign him. I don't know. It doesn't really add up to me, but nothing does.
No.
So they will do more than what adds up to me.
Well, I just wonder what the market value is for these guys now. Like with Butler being on the market, Kenny Vaccaro being on the market, like my guess would be they're not going to make as much as they were just making. So how big of a cut is it going to be? Like if Malcolm Butler is going from $10 million to five, is it going to be cut in half? Like what's the market going to look like for these guys out there? That to me is going to be fascinating because – I mean, if you're a team out there looking to get some help in your secondary, some good players just from the Titans are available out there, much less the rest of the league. So I'm fascinated to see what this does to the market.
Well, right. So exactly. I mean, Vaccaro's 30. He's not, and I don't know what all was going on last year. I didn't think last year he looked like he was just running in molasses or anything.
No.
I still think he's got good football left. A team out there that's desperate at safety. You do a lot worse than Kenny Vaccaro. What kind of a pay cut does that mean? Butler is a starting cornerback in this league somewhere. He has to be. He's absolutely that good. But what's he going to make? I mean, I feel like with both those guys, it might be like a one-year ridiculously cheap deal. So then for the Titans' perspective, is there someone or someone's to come in on the same kind of thing? I mean, that's what everybody's doing right now. I mean, it's absolutely bargain shopping.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans. Now that Vaccaro has been released as well as Malcolm Butler, how concerned are you as Titans fans about the secondary moving forward? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, and we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And talking about the Titans secondary, and now that Vaccaro is gone, Butler is gone, what is your concern level with the secondary? CD texts in and says, Hooker tied the team high with interceptions with Butler last year. Hooker is not too worried about losing Vaccaro because Hooker is there. Amani seems like he's going to develop into a solid player. So CD very confident that Amani Hooker can come in and the Titans defense won't miss too much of a beat with him back there in the secondary.
I've liked what I've seen of Amani Hooker. I mean, I haven't been blown away by anything. What was the team lead in interceptions?
Like
you
four.
Know that number? Okay. The interception numbers are incredibly overrated when we're talking about defensive backs, but
it's nice to get some.
Yeah, it's nice to get some, and obviously Byard had been very opportunistic in his career. He'd like to get back to getting some. But, yeah, I think safety is way down the list of worries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even with Byard last year, having an off year, I mean, safety is – not a huge concern to me. I mean, relative to other positions. It's not like, I mean, going into last year, I thought they might have as good a safety tandem as there was in the league.
Yes.
Based on how Vaccaro had played, his previous 2 years, and obviously what we knew of Byard didn't pan out that way. Don't think that now with Hooker and Byard, but it's still fine. I mean, you've got a long list in front of that.
Well,
things to do.
I think the question when it comes to safety, especially with Byard, is, all right, what was last year? Was it him regressing as a player, Was it the defense around him and not being able to even breathe on a quarterback? Was it the lack of coordination or communication or whatever buzzword that he brought up 1,000 times last year with Shane Bowen? I'm sure the answer is a combination of some of these things. Like, I look at Kevin Byard, and what is he, 27 years old? Like, it doesn't scream to me as a guy that's, like, just all of a sudden started to lose some steps. Like, there were some times last year where he looked like he was taking some bad angles, trying to make some tackles in the running game. He was not as consistent in coverage down the field as we'd grown accustomed to seeing. To your point, certainly was not as opportunistic with creating turnovers as we've seen. I think he had one interception last year, and I think it was against Chase Daniel. So I'm sure, I don't even know if that counts. Is that half a one?
They'll give him a full one.
Okay, they'll give him a full one.
Round it up.
Okay. So it wasn't the same level, obviously. The question is Kevin Byard going to rebound and look like the Kevin Byard that we've grown accustomed to seeing next year if the defense and the pass rush specifically improves, or as he started to decline a little bit as a player? I tend to believe he's not on the decline as of yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he was a product of a bad defense. Again, that's the first bad defense Kevin Byard's ever played on. His first 4 years, he played on good defenses. I don't know if there was a great one in there, but they're all good. Pretty good, good. Some good, I mean, like pass rush numbers, even though you and then that whole time, Kevin Dodd didn't work out, and Arakpo and Morgan are getting older, you still had pretty good middle-of-the-road pass rush numbers. You affected quarterbacks one way or the other pretty well. That's a lot of what creates turnovers, right?
Yeah.
So last year, guys are standing in there. I mean, just, I think I'll throw over here. Oh, that's Jonathan Joseph. I think I'll throw over there.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not, again, it's like you don't want to, if you have a great player who has a big contract, who has huge expectations like that, you don't want to just say, well, it's not his fault, but I do think it was more product of what was around him than his own play taking a nosedive. We'll see.
Obviously, Joe, the picture on this is not complete. I mean, you still could have some moves made in free agency, especially a corner, or maybe in the draft as well. So it's not like, you know, now that they've moved on from Vaccaro and Butler, that this is it, and this is just what the secondary is going to look like. You would think that they address it in some form or fashion, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. But at this moment, if you're a Titans fan looking at this, how concerned should you be about the secondary with, to your point, losing a couple of really good players? Like, they're not surprising, and you've planned on this if you're a Titans fan, but how concerned, now that it's happened, should you be if you're a Titans fan?
Well, if you're a Titans fan who's been, you know, paying close attention, listening to us, we've been talking about this happening. So, I mean, you can't be all that surprised. I did, like, when I thought about it in the way I guess described it last segment, when you throw in Logan Ryan too, it is a lot of leadership in that room in one area that, again, I thought was the strength of the team before, and now it's a much bigger question mark. But if you can address that other corner, and like Porth said, I mean, there's a lot of ifs. There's going to be but if you want to go around the league too, find me a team that doesn't have a bunch. There aren't many, you know. I think that Adoree Jackson is the evidence is much more on the side of he's going to be fine to me than that last year's little glimpse of him coming off the knee injury is some. I mean, that's exactly why they made the move they did, right? I mean, that's what they must think. And again, they made that run. They played probably the best stretch of defense I've seen the Titans play in the last 5 years, which was the end of the 19 season into all the way to the AFC title game. And even in the AFC title game, Tyreek Hill didn't go off on them. You know, I mean, they did a lot of stuff they wanted to do. Malcolm Butler was never on the field for any of that stuff. Adoree Jackson led the way at corner for all that stuff. Keep that in mind. I don't think it's crazy to think he'll step forward and have a good year. I think Fulton is a much bigger if, and I mean, he has to. And I don't know. That's hard. We don't know with him. I mean, he was hurt too much last year to get a great feel. I thought he looked pretty fast at times, but that's a huge question. You draft him the second round. I mean, we already know what the draft was evaluated as in the first year, but there's more to come, and he's one of those guys who needs to flip it around. And then they're going to do something, like you said. I would imagine they'll probably sign a veteran at a low rate to be the four, and then I think they'll probably draft someone to be a possible starter. That'd be my guess. I wouldn't even be shocked. Again, we have to see how everything goes with free agency, but like if their first draft pick is a corner, I wouldn't rule that out. In this league, you have to defend the pass. You have to pass it, and you have to defend the pass. You have to affect passers. You have to cover receivers.
And
you got to invest in that.
I think Titans fans might hear you there on they might draft a corner at 22 and kind of freak out a little bit or think, why would they draft a corner at 22? But if this is going to be Adoree Jackson's last season with the Titans, I mean, it would be nice to have that security blanket, especially if Fulton doesn't pan out.
And I do think, and compliment to Jared Stillman, I was listening to Jared yesterday, and I think he had a good point about when you have this many needs now, I mean, you probably can be a little bit more best player available.
Yeah.
As much as we obviously know how badly they need edge players, and if they don't do anything in free agency, then
I mean, you got to.
Well, then you have to. I mean, I'm saying that, assuming we're going to see signings here, right?
Right, like they're not just cutting people for no reason. They're going to use this money.
Yeah. And they still don't have a ton, by the way.
Right.
You know, but I think they're going to have enough to go after someone. So, I mean, if they can do enough, not enough, but if they can do a lot of that in free agency, then, yeah, I think it's possible. Receiver, corner, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
instead of an edge.
Right now, I mean, who's playing the slot? Like, I'm operating under the assumption that you're moving Christian Fulton to the outside. Now, maybe that changes with the guy you drafted, maybe in the first round, or maybe, who knows. But right now, I'm assuming Desmond King's not coming back, so you've got a hole at slot. Like, who's going to play that? Christian Fulton, they tried that out early in the season last year. Maybe you go back to that, but he played on the outside at LSU. So, I don't know. Like, I think in an ideal world, he'd probably like to be outside. That's probably where he was most comfortable. So what do you do at the slot, at the cornerback position? That, to me, is going to be very fascinating. And I'd be concerned if I'm a Titans fan about this secondary right now. I mean, you look at it, and like I said, the picture's not done. I still don't trust Adoree Jackson. I know people feel a little bit differently about him than I do, but I don't think it's just this foregone conclusion. He's going to come back and look like 2019. Adoree Jackson. I have heavy concerns that he's not going to come back and look like that. And I've said it before. I think he's been overrated the whole time. And I think there has been a constant state of wanting to see more out of Adoree Jackson. We've got to see that this year. This has got to be the year where you see that.
Well, I don't disagree that like there's it's not a foregone conclusion. But 2019 Adoree Jackson, I would absolutely take that. Is that a superstar all-pro guy? No. But I would take that guy. And if that's what the Titans get, I believe is what they think too, they'd be happy. They'll be happy with that. And it gives you more matchups that you can handle than you would have if you went the other way around with the guy in his 30s who can't run as well. It's just how it is. Now, there's some matchups that Malcolm Butler would be better at than Adoree, but I'd rather have a chance against fast guys.
I know,
and there's a lot of them in this league.
I mean, we talk about 2019 Adoree Jackson. 2019 Adoree Jackson played 11 games. 2020 Adoree Jackson played 3 games. How in the world can you rely on that guy right now to play 16 games?
Remember, what was his injury in 2019? I don't remember.
I don't know. That's too long ago.
It wasn't.
Too
it
much
was,
has happened since.
It wasn't a knee. I want to say, was it like a hand or something? But before that, he played everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look. Anyone coming off an injury that takes you out for most of a year, you know, sure, it's a question. And he didn't look good coming back. So there was no super easy, comfortable answer. I still think this was the right one, though.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in and says, if y'all say Jonathan Joseph one more time, he's going to show up in Nashville with a $10 million contract.
Is that like, what's that?
We've only said his name like twice.
J-Jo.
Yeah.
He's a good recruiter.
Yeah.
He had a good career, you know. I mean, shoot, didn't he? He was getting serious, significant snaps with the Cardinals last year, right? After he left here?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Looks like it was a foot injury for Adoree Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, now that rings a bell. Okay. So, two lower body injuries in hockey terms for Adoree.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, let's bring Kendall Wright back. He's in the Canadian League right now, and I'm sure you could get him for cheap. He could play the slot. He's not old for the team he plays for, which is the Argos, which has the same colors as the Titans. I bet he'd love to come back, and you could welcome him back, and he'd be cheap.
Wow.
What do you think about Kendall Wright?
Thanks for the CFL knowledge.
Yeah, man, that's good.
I had no idea.
No thanks.
Kendall Wright was good in 2016. He was really good.
Yeah, he had that one good year.
Yeah. It's only 5 years ago, man. How old is Kendall Wright? Seriously.
Probably 30.
Is that all?
Oh, he's 31? Older than that.
I don't know.
My guess would be 32, 33.
He was...
He is 31.
31, okay.
But he wasn't drafted that long ago.
Yeah. What round was he? Was he second rounder?
He was first.
He was a first rounder, man.
Kendall Wright was a first round pick.
Put him on the list of first round receivers the Titans tried to draft before.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was rough. I don't think we're going to see Kendall Wright back in the Titans uniform, but hey.
I like the thinking outside the box. Go to the CFL. The thing is, you don't need to go to the CFL to find, receivers that are just out there.
Yeah, they'll be out there.
Yeah.
You can find some. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as it pertains to the wide receiver position. When we come back, cuts have happened for the Titans. Is John Robinson done? Could we expect more in the coming days? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and the moves that have been made and the moves maybe still to come. Let us know your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've seen a lot of new names, new numbers on the text lines. We appreciate that. Appreciate your participation. And we always love your thoughts. A lot of times your thoughts are better than our thoughts, so thank you.
And they're always very nice and kind and
most of the time.
Supportive.
Yeah, they are most of the time.
Heidi.
Yeah. So, Joe, the cuts that have been made now, obviously the big names being Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, Adam Humphries being cut as well. The question is John Robinson done? Are these all the cuts he's going to make? Or could there be more cuts coming down the line? Now, we've talked about maybe on the offensive line with a Ben Jones or a Roger Saffold potentially being a cap casualty candidate or at least a restructuring candidate. And we'll get to the restructuring part of this here in just a second. But as you look at the moves that have been made, you look at the salary cap that the Titans have now created, do you think that this is it in terms of the releases and the cuts that the Titans have makes? Or do you think that maybe John Robinson could have a few more moves coming down the stretch here in the next few days?
It's a great question. I mean, I look at the whole picture and I still say, okay, what's next? But what would realistically be next? Like, if you look at the entire offense, you got a new coordinator who has a lot to prove based on his 1 year as coordinator. Every time I run across a Raiders fan, it's like, oh no.
It's
like
Todd Downing.
Yeah. I mean, but that's also, I mean, that's par for the course in the NFL. The OC,
sure.
In football, the OC always gets like way more blame than the OC deserves.
Well, it was like
not always. Sometimes they deserve it. But
it was even like when, LaFleur takes over the Packers job. Like, oh, no, you're not going to like that, Green Bay.
Right.
It worked out okay.
Yeah. I mean, but anyway, you have the new OC. It's trending toward you're going to lose your number two receiver, your number one tight end.
Yeah.
So, gosh, wouldn't you at least want to try to keep the group up front intact for the trio of Derek, Ryan, and AJ?
You think so?
Yeah, but that's where I'm looking. I mean, if you're looking at where I don't see anything else on defense that you would realistically do. I mean, we've already just assumed. I mean, Daquan Jones is going to be somewhere else. I think Jayon Brown's certainly going to be somewhere else. So there's nothing else on defense, right? You can't cut that anymore. I mean, it's the offensive line. Is there anyone up front that, that you could? And I think Ben Jones is, and that was part of my plan when I did my little fake plan. Pretend like I'm John Robinson, have some Redman tobacco, Redman. Try to put this whole puzzle together. I cut Ben Jones. And that would be, to me, number one on the still possible list.
Yeah, I think that would be for me as well. The question is, like, to your point, the offense already could look pretty different. Do you want to mess with the offensive line? Now, of the offensive linemen that I would probably mess with at this point, Ben Jones is at the top of the list. I realize he's the center, and that's a very important position, but I don't know that I'd really want to mess with Roger Saffold, especially how, you know, you assume Lawan comes back. And when those two have been together over the last year and a half, I mean, they've been dynamite. I mean, that left side is about as good as it gets in the NFL. So I think you feel great about that if Taylor Lawan is able to get healthy, get back up to speed, and be ready to come back in and contribute right away next year. So to me, if you're going to make a move, it's got to be Ben Jones. Like, maybe you go to Saffold and talk about restructuring the deal. We saw the Carolina Panthers do that with Christian McCaffrey. He's restructured his deal. That's going to be a very popular conversation piece around the league with some of these general managers and players and trying to get these deals restructured and lower the cap hit for this season. Maybe you can do that with Roger Saffold. Maybe you can do that with some other guys on the team. But we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago as well. Like, the success rate on that is probably not overly high.
So, you know, the interesting thing, if you talk hypothetically, I've talked about the Conklin hypothetical.
Yeah.
You managed to keep him. You never drafted Isaiah Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Also, had Isaiah Wilson panned out, we'd be talking a lot about Dennis Kelly and his $8.3 million cap hit right now, right? But we're not talking about that.
I mean, we would probably, if Isaiah Wilson pans out, Dennis Kelly's probably not here at this point.
Right.
Like, he would be, to me, in the category of, like, Kenny Vaccaro. Like, he's going to be gone.
Right. I mean, it's the 1 year, you know, he signed a bigger deal when Conklin left and, you know, did a good job, but he would be probably a real easy one. But I tell you what, I agree with you on Saffold and Lawan. That's a terrific side. But you're talking more than $26 million in cap hit this year. $26 million in two guys in your offensive line. You know, so I'm not, you know, certainly you're not cutting Lawan. I mean, I hope no one even, like, suggests that. There's just no way. And I don't think so with Saffold at all either. I think he's turned out to be – Saffold's kind of like Butler to me. Like, he has a few rough games at the start and then really has been a very good signing for John Robinson. Still a big number. So he's a guy that I look at as a real prime candidate for some kind of finagling.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I look at this team right now, and to your point, like, they've made some moves. They've freed up some space. But I mean, right now, overthecap.com's got the Titans at $16.7 million worth of cap space. So it's still not a ton of room to work with. What did they have last year? $25 million to work with in free agency? Around there?
I thought it was even a little bit more than that.
Maybe. So you're talking,
but, yeah, in the neighborhood,
a significant amount less for the Titans to work with right now. Now, maybe you can find some players cheaper this year just based on the market, and certainly that's probably the way you're going to have to operate if you're the Titans. But if you're trying to go get one of these big-name pass rushers, that's going to eat up a significant chunk of the salary cap money that you've got available to you. So I know a lot of Titans fans look at this roster right now and the cuts that have been made and think, okay, well, surely they're done making cuts at this point. You can't just keep eating away at the team. But I'm not convinced that they are. Maybe we do see more moves from John Robinson in the next couple of days.
Well, they're certainly not. They can't be done creating space.
No.
It's just,
cuts.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how you're creating it. I mean, and let's not forget, too, when you talk about salary cap availability, you still also have to build in, and I don't know if they're doing that or not, but you have to build in your rookie pool, too. I mean, you have to pay your rookies. You don't pay them a lot, but you have to factor that in, too, and that's a few million, you know, that you take off. You have to factor in what we know about John Robinson, which is he doesn't go into camp without some space,
right?
Which, I mean, I think is the right way to do it. But take a couple more million there. So, I mean, you know, it's less, I think, unless I honestly don't know if over the cap, you know, factors that stuff. I don't think they
do.
I think they're just straight looking at what they have. So, I mean, it's, you've got to do more stuff. Just a matter of, I mean, there's just really nobody else when you go up and down the roster other than Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, that I think are even worth discussing.
Let's go back to
Brett Kern.
Legendary.
Draft a punter. That's $3.2 million on your cap. Draft a punter.
I mean, I think you have to look at every single contract on the books for 2021.
You don't touch Brett Kern.
And see how you can move money around. You know, last week when I brought up Roger Saffold, y'all looked at me like I was crazy. But, like, you can move money around without giving him a pay cut. You know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can restructure without pay cuts. Now, in some cases, you actually have straight-up pay cuts.
Sure.
I don't know that he's one of those. Like some of these guys, I mean, you know, Vaccaro. I mean, there are some guys you could try to get a. You'd say, look, you know, we're either cutting you or we got to change your deal.
Right. I think
most guys would usually say, okay, I'll go out there on the market. And,
to me, Ben Jones is the next prime candidate for that exact conversation.
Yeah.
I think so, too, because if you're Ben Jones, you've also got to know that if they cut you, you're not making a whole lot of money on the free agent market. Like
you would think.
You would think, anyway. I mean, maybe he goes back to Houston.
Someone
maybe they're willing to do
Ben
it.
Jones.
I mean, Houston.
You could also be sitting out until July without a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of those players that, yes, he's a valuable commodity, but he would be one of those guys that I could see without a contract until training camp around the league.
And so much of that, too, is how they feel in the building about like a guy like Aaron Brewer.
Yeah.
You know, if they, because I think.
Not a great pass catcher.
That's true. He's got to work on that. I mean, I feel like you do this. It's easy if you have someone like Amani Hooker rating, you know, but I don't think with Ben Jones, you even think. I think it's really difficult to do it unless you feel really good. And I mean, you can't just plan on, okay, well, we'll draft that too.
Right.
And we'll draft this and we'll draft that. You can't. Right? You have so many. They got the comp pick, by the way. They got compensatory pick for anybody who missed that yesterday, the number 100. So that's for losing Conklin in free agency. So another pick, and they'll need it. They'll use it. But you can't draft every position.
And Teresa Walker from the Associated Press pointed this out yesterday, but when they were listing like the gains from the offseason and the losses, Vic Beasley on
that list.
Yeah.
He brought, you know, fire, intensity and
yeah, he did.
Inspiration to the roster.
Sure did. Way to go, Vic Beasley. When we come back, speaking of the pass rush, we're not going to talk about Vic Beasley, but there are some options out there that could be available for the Titans in the pass rush. How much money should the Titans be willing to spend? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All this week, stay tuned to 102.5 The Game for SEC tournament coverage presented by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. We'll have a lot of talk about the SEC tournament coming up a little bit later in the show. Tom Hart from the SEC Network joins us at 9 o'clock, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, talking Tennessee Titans here on Robbie and Rex Road and taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And we've discussed in detail the moves that John Robinson has already made and the cuts that he's made with Kenny Vaccaro and Malcolm Butler and Adam Humphries now out with the Titans. That's freed up some money. Still some work to do on that front from a salary cap perspective. But obviously, Joe, Titans fans want to know who's going to come in and save the pass rush. Who's going to come in and try to get you to a place as a defense where you're at least dangerous in that area. And two guys that are interesting that were not franchise tagged are Shaq Barrett and Carl Lawson. Now, you know how I feel about Shaq Barrett. Love me some Shaq Barrett.
You're not on an island.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not on an island. He's a guy that I said if he makes it to free agency, that would be my top target if I were the Tennessee Titans. Now, Shaq Barrett also is probably going to cost a lot of money, and we'll see if Tampa Bay is somehow able to re-sign him. I'm still surprised that they chose to franchise tag Chris Godwin over Shaq Barrett, but who knows? Maybe they know something we don't, and they'll get him signed to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I thought they were just bringing in Beckham anyway.
Yeah, you know.
Just have all the receivers.
Or if Brady could go recruit somebody else.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Bucks, so our guy, friend of the show, co-worker of mine, Greg Allman, great name, he just tweeted. Boy, you're up early, Greg. Oh, that's right. He's on the East Coast, though. He just tweeted the Bucks are 3-7 over. With 48 signed, and that doesn't reflect Levante David. So basically, they're 7.2 million over the cap right now.
They got some finagling to do. They want to bring back Shaq Barrett.
Yeah. So like, how is that going to work? God, I mean,
cut Cameron Brate. He can come to the Titans.
Well, there's one that you can almost guarantee, right?
Yeah.
He'll be out there, but maybe if I'm them, looking at how I just won the Super Bowl, I'm not messing with my pass rush.
I don't get it.
Yeah. But unless they've got some magic tricks up their sleeves, he might be out there.
Yeah. So if he is, I mean, that could be an option if you're the Titans. Now, it's going to be an expensive option. Another guy we've talked about is Carl Lawson, and there was some chatter that maybe the Bengals would place the franchise tag on him. They did not place the franchise tag on him, so it looks like Carl Lawson could be out there and available in free agency. So if you're the Titans, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, like at some point Carl Lawson's really not under the radar anymore because everybody's talking about Carl Lawson and how good he is. So that's starting to lose its luster a little bit. So I think maybe at the beginning of the offseason, you thought about Carl Lawson as a guy that could come in maybe cheap and not, you know, bargain basement cheap, but cheaper relative to some of the other options out there. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not as they move forward here. If you're the Titans, based on the budget that you have, but also the production that you're looking for, how realistic would a Shaq Barrett or a Carl Lawson be for them at this point?
I mean, see, Shaq Barrett, it's really interesting with him because obviously he came in, the Bucs signed him. I mean, he was really a cheap signing for the Bucs, and then he blows up and has, you know, the 19 and a half sacks, and then they tag him, and he's very good again. He's only 28, but that year is totally an outlier too for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so his years, and it's kind of like Trey Hendrickson right now, like how much of a market is there for him based on one good year? You know, Shaq Barrett, 5.5 sacks, 1.5, 4, 3, 19.5 in 2019.
Well, the thing is, he's also in Denver before that, and you're playing with Von Miller. And, you, I mean, look, they've had some great pass rushers there, so probably not getting the amount of snaps that you'd want to get, but still. Very much an outlier year.
Right. He was a backup for a lot of that time. So he comes in there and it's like, whoa, and they tag him. He has 8 sacks last year. But I mean, just watch him in the playoffs. He was a problem.
He's a stud.
He was a problem for people. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, more than looking at the numbers. What is he right now? He's only 28. I mean, certainly they have 6 days here. The Bucs do to get something done with him. If he's out there, I mean, that would be, to me, a no-brainer to go after him. Now, you're probably getting a guy like Lawson a lot cheaper. You may not have as high a ceiling with a Lawson. But someone like that, I mean, I've advocated for Matt Judon as an all-around player, I think would complement Landry, but he's going to have a high price too, I think. The prices are just – it's hard to project that, too, with what is happening with the cap. Maybe the prices aren't as high as you think. Maybe it's a bunch of one-year deals.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That's going to be interesting to see what the market looks like there. But I do think when you start talking about the upper echelon, top-tier guys, like I still think long-term deals, they may get some similar money.
Well, and just like with what happened with Dak.
Right.
Everybody knows that the money's coming back,
right?
Or they feel pretty good about it. This TV deal gives you that security, so you just have to structure it correctly.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, don't pay more than $6 million for a pass rusher. You trade back and turn those 9 picks into 12 guys that can all suit up. Cheap labor is our best hope to fill the holes on this roster. Trading back in the draft a little bit.
I like trading back for depth, especially when you're in this kind of situation.
It's got to hit.
You just have to make the right choices. It just puts you in a position of having to make more right choices than you had to before. But, I mean, I don't think obviously you don't automatically trade up or down. It's based on who you want.
Right.
But more picks, I'm not against that. More than $6 million, if you're spending $6 million, what would that be? There are people out there floating around. I just don't know how. I mean, you got to make that right choice too. Who are you getting for $6 million right now as a pass rusher?
That's a great question.
Like what is Carlos Dunlap going to get?
Yeah, maybe he does hang around that number. Maybe it's 1 year though. Taking a 1 year flyer on people.
Oh yeah, well someone like
that's worked out well lately.
Well yeah, I know, but someone
maybe it's Clowney. 1 year, $6 million.
Would you sign him for $6 million? I would. I don't know. You're not sure?
I don't know.
You even if it was six,
I can't trust the guy to stay on the field.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a gamble.
With money being so tight, I would probably say no.
So how low are you going?
$1 million.
Zero? One million. Okay.
1 year, $1 million. I'd do that.
You'd do that?
Yeah. Okay.
You're all good. Jadeveon, you're in, buddy.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plain Joe texts in, says, I don't expect to see Daquan Jones back with the Titans, so who is available in free agency or the draft to fill that spot on the D-line next to Simmons? And you've talked about that a lot, Joe. That as much as we talk about the edge rusher, and that's great, the Titans need to address that. That is, if not equally as important, certainly crucial for the Titans as well, to have people come in on the line and be able to contribute next to Jeffrey Simmons. Like, I mean, I think there were times last year where Jeffrey Simmons was completely on an island. And I think that, along with maybe some health issues, were why his play dropped off toward the end of the season. But you got to find somebody to come in and help him on that defensive line.
And listen, we'll talk about pilfering the Bucs. I know for a fact that the Titans were absolutely in on Ndamukong Suh when he signed with the Rams. And I know there's a wide range of opinions on him. He was still pretty good last year. And I think he's still got some good football left in him, and that's someone you might be able to get for like $4 million, $5 million, something like that on a one-year deal. I'd think about that a lot.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man Kinston texts in and says, you can get any pass rusher you want. The cap is overrated. Structure it right. Derek signed for a $12.5 million average, but the first year his cap hit was only $6.6 million. You can structure it. Now, what you also don't want to do is just get yourself bogged down in guaranteed money later on. So that's what general managers don't like.
Yeah, and Kenson's right. And, you know, the cap hit is 13.5 this year for Derek, and that's why things are tighter. I mean,
right.
The cap's overrated. I agree, okay? It's not non-existent.
Right.
I mean, it does exist. You know, so you can't just go get any – I mean – look, if there's somebody they covet and it's going to cost $15, $16 million, they can make it happen. I agree with that.
Sure.
But then you aren't then doing that and going to get your interior lineman and going to get your – I mean, like, there's a limit here.
Right.
Come on, Kenston. It's not that easy, man.
Hey, if it was, though, Titans be in pretty good shape. Could go out and get everybody. Maybe they didn't even sign Clowney and bring him back on a $2 million deal.
Clowney is, of all the things I can't wait to see.
I know.
What Clowney gets
paid. Can't
wait
until somebody pays him $11 million. It's going to be great. When we come back,
hello,
we'll continue
Cleveland.
The discussion on the Tennessee Titans and get into the offensive side of the ball a little bit. If they lose Corey Davis, what in the world are the Titans going to do at wide receiver? Maybe in free agency. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.